Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
You know, I'm just sort of beside myself. It's just what that looks like. So I don't know where to go next. But I do want to talk to you today about Christ in you. Yeah. And I know there's more to that, the hope of glory. But Christ in you. But before we get to the Christ in you part, there's some things we have to understand so that when we get to the Christ in me, we have a basis of how we're to live and why we can live how we are to live. See, a lot of times we start out in our Christian life. Most of us will start out in our Christian life, about all people will, and we'll start out just really all excited about a lot of things that God's done for us, but in so many cases, we don't have a clue how what to do because we haven't been properly discipled. We haven't been taught the things of God, the ways of God. And we'll try so hard to be good. We'll try so hard to be right. We'll try so hard to be humble. How many of you have ever tried to be humble? How many of you, when you tried, it just didn't work? We got some honest folks in here. The rest of you, I'm going to have to do a sermon online. So it's no, I'm messing with you. I really am. So we try to be humble. We try to be nice. We try to be kind. We try to do all the fruits of the Spirit out of our own ability, but we have hindrances that hold us back. How many of you have experienced that? You have some hindrances that hold you back. We're going to be talking about that today. And hopefully we will discover this great mystery, because the scriptures tell us that this is a mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And God created that mystery and created it to be a mystery, because he wants us to discover the majesticness of his presence and what he's done and what he's doing, so we can actually receive from him all that he's already provided. Am I making sense? So we want to make sure that we capture this. I got a couple of verses here that I want you to go to. Colossians 1:27. That's the one we're talking about. Colossians 1:27 and Colossians 3:4. Colossians 1:27 says, God willed to make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. He willed to make it known. This mystery, the riches, the glory of his riches, and or the riches of his glory and the mystery to the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think the Passion reads, Christ in you with full expectations of hope. I like that, don't you? So he's got a mystery that he wants us to know. He's willed that you know it. And we say, well, I know Christ is in me. And then we live like he's not. Wave at me. Not mad at you. We're all in this together. Amen. Colossians 3:4 says, with Christ, who is my life. He said, with Christ, who is my life. When Christ, who is my life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So Christ in you, and then he says, Christ is my life. Isn't that great? And this Philippians 1:22 says, for me to live is Christ. In other words, my living is Christ living, because the life that I live is the life of Christ. For me to live on this earth, right? For me to live on this earth is Christ. That's what Paul is saying. Paul's learned the process. He's learned the mystery. And he grabbed hold of it in such a way that he had understanding. And when we have understanding, the Bible says we become fruitful. Jesus said, if you do not understand the kingdom, when he was talking about the seeds and the sower, so when you don't have understanding, you won't have the fruitfulness, because all this other stuff crowds it out, chokes it out, because we don't have the understanding. So it's the understanding, say, understanding of the kingdom. Say it. Understanding of the kingdom. Understanding of the... Are y'all awake? Three are. The rest of you are asleep. Say amen.
Amen.
Say it louder.
Amen.
That means so be it. So we're not so being it to be asleep. We're so being it to stay awake. All right, I'm messing with you. But here it is, a Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then Galatians 2:20, which is O.A.'s favorite passage and one of mine as well. I have been crucified with Christ. It is I no longer who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Now, those are some great verses. But it has become to a lot of us, to a lot of Christian people, they have become goals. They have become standards that we try to attain. And see, whenever we try to attain it, we already missed it. So what are we talking about? Well, this thing, a lot of times when we start out, we get crossed up in a lot of things, and we don't fully understand what the dilemma is and what was the dilemma to begin with. Well, the dilemma to begin with was Adam. See, Adam was with God, fellowshipping with God, and everything was great until he willfully sinned. Here's a question. Here's something to look at. See, Eve was deceived. Adam deliberately sinned. That's the reason that our sinful nature came out of Adam. It didn't come out of Eve. It came out of Adam. She was deceived. And Adam was with her. So he took and ate. So he disobedient. He was disobedient to God. Willful disobedient to God. And out of that, mankind became anything from him from that point on. Became sinful, became born in sin. See, through his disobedience, we were made sinners. That's what the Bible says. Through Adam's disobedience, we were made sinners. So what did we start, what did we do when we were born in the natural? What did we do? You can say it. We sinned. We were just a bunch of sinners. Sinning. That's what the Bible says. We don't like talking about it, but that's the reality. That's being born in sin, born from Adam, born from the natural man. We became sinners, and because we were sinners, we did some sinning. We disobeyed God too. It was out of his disobedience that we did that. So we got dilemmas. The dilemma is that me being born in the natural, I'm a sinner. And I sin. See, me sinning does not make me a sinner. I sin because I'm a sinner. Because I am a sinner, I sin. My sinning don't make me a sinner. You want me to sit down for a while? Let you think about that one? So you begin to see that we start out in a dilemma. We start out in great need. We start out in great need because we sin. We have sin. See, there's two words. There's sins and there is sin. Sins, plural, that is what we do. Sin, singular, is who we are. So we need help. But you know, God has the remedy. But you know, God had this remedy. He had this provision for us long before Genesis 1:1. Before he actually created the earth, I'm going to say it this way, the fix was in. I'm not minimizing it. I'm just saying he's already got it covered. Long before he said he created the earth and he created the waters and he created life, long before he did that, the Bible says in Revelation 3 that before the foundation of the earth, Christ, the Lamb, Jesus, was already slain. Before he ever speaking things into existence, matter of fact, before he ever spoke time into existence. See, somebody said, what time frame is God on? I said, eternity. See, there was eternity before time started. God always was, always is, and always will be. So I can imagine a conversation happening long before they created the earth. I'm choosing man to be in me. And before the earth was, the foundation of the earth was created, Jesus is already slain. That's God's plan. Long before Genesis 1:1. That's how much he loves you. He chose you. He chose you and I to be in him. There's a verse for that. You want it? Okay. Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in him. Before the foundation of the world, before the foundation, before it began, he chose you to be in him. Boy, I tell you, I sit and I marvel at the very provision and the love of God who chose me. How did he, you know, and here's another one, Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. So backwards, before the world began, he promised eternal life, and he couldn't lie, and he cannot lie. So before the world began, he's already promised eternal life. To whom? To us. That's the promise. That's the provisions. That's the way he's made it. Long before the earth started forming. That's how much he loves you. Matter of fact, he loves you so much that you're, you know, you remember us saying that you're the really special one, right? Are you the special one? Are you special? You're the special. Why? Because he treats you like you're the special one. Because he loves you that much. So we have this dilemma. We have a need of forgiveness for our sins. Yes or no? Yes. Well, how am I going to get that? Anybody know? How do I get, or what has God provided for us to have forgiveness for our sins? Anybody know? Say it loud. Everybody say, the blood. Say it loud, the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no remission of sins, correct? Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. There's no redemption. There's no purchase. He could not purchase you without blood. Well, what time, when did that start? That started way before, because that's the reason he's called him slain. because he knew blood would have to be in here to be able to cleanse us from sins. Amen. So here we are, we stand in need for what I've done. I've sinned. So my sins need to be forgiven. God's plan was Jesus to come and to pay the price for you and I to be forgiven. And the blood takes care of your sins, yes or no? What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? So you begin to see that his blood is valued by God himself. God the Father highly values his blood. Sometimes we sort of take a lower position. No, Pastor, I do believe blood. Well, yeah, I understand that. But sometimes we act like he hasn't. Let me ask you this. What sins did he pay for? How do you know that? It says it. That's good. I like that. The Bible says it. He does. He pays for our sins. He said it's the blood of Jesus that forgives us of and cleanses us. By the way, the Bible says cleanses, not cleansed. Cleanses. It continually cleanses. It continually cleanses. Everybody say it continually cleanses. Say it continually cleanses. Say it again. It just continually cleanses. Well, I love that, don't you? So the blood of Jesus has cleansed and is cleansing. Oh, I love that. I love that, don't you? I really do love it. Keith, come up here. Jim, come up here. Lee, come up here. As you can tell, they're all excited. They've read their script. They know what's coming. Yeah, right. Come on up. Come on up. I want you to come over here. I'm going to let Keith be Adam.
If I was Adam, nobody would still be alive.
Adam, come on over here. You need to be connected to him. Come on over here. You need to be connected to him. Okay. So Adam, he decides he's going to sin. He's going to disobey God. And what happens is sins start being done. Your sins. See, man, I'm telling you, you just do stuff wrong all the time. Sins. Well, you know, God, you have a red thing, dancers? Bring me, I know I didn't prepare you for it. I really wasn't prepared for it myself until just now. So I'm okay if y'all are. So you begin to see that sins, okay, Adam sinned, so therefore sins were in him, right? And then when we're born, here I am, I've been born out of Adam, and I've been born, and guess what's connected to me? Old sins over here. You know, so sins is over here, and the only thing that can handle the sins is the blood of Jesus. So we have the blood of Jesus covering our sins. He's done away with our sins. He can't see them. And all of a sudden, he's forgiven. I mean, all the sins are forgiven. And Adam, we needed Jesus to do this. Amen. So we have the forgiveness of sins, and come on with me. I've been forgiven. All these sins that came with Adam, I've been forgiven. Yes or no? Yes, yes or no? Yes. But then I still struggle. I said, well, I did something wrong. I'm wondering if I'm even saved. The enemy loves to pick on you on this because what he likes to get you to do is believe this is not true for everything. But yet the Bible says he has paid for all our sins. But the enemy whispers and wants us to believe that, no, this one right here. And you don't understand. So I'm forgiven. But then I still struggle. Am I speaking to anybody? I'm born again. I received the blood of Jesus. All of my sins are forgiven, but I am struggling like crazy to live this Christian life. Are y'all with me? Is this a reality? Okay, well, there's another issue. So there's two parts to our salvation. One is the blood has to come. Has to be applied, and we are forgiven. Everybody say forgiven. Everybody say, I'm forgiven. So let me ask you, which one of your sins did he not forgive? None. No matter what the enemy says. None. I'm forgiven. Yes or no? Yeah. All right. So I've still got my sins covered. But over here, not only did I take all this sinning that you do. I'm sorry, Jim, let me cover you up some more. Right, okay. Okay. All this sinning that he does in me. All right. See, Jesus has got that covered, yes or no? Jesus got this covered. But see, also attached to me is a birthing that's called the old man.
What are you talking about?
So I'm still looking at sins, but they're covered. They're covered. I'm forgiven, but I'm still acting goofy sometimes. I'm still, we're still doing this. Well, I acknowledge that my sins are forgiven because Jesus told me, my blood has taken care of your sins. You're forgiven. Let it be. All right, yes, it is. But I still, and sometimes I go. See, what happens is I haven't acknowledged that I needed something here. Did I need something here? Did God provide? Yes, he did. Are you getting hot?
No.
No, okay. Okay.
We needed something.
So the blood took care of this, but you know the Bible didn't say the blood took care of this.
How are you covering the old man, by the way?
What?
How are you covering the old man, by the way?
By the old man, yeah. So here's the old nature. See, I needed something here as well. God knew that. So I'm over here, and I'm born in Adam, and I have the sins, but my sins are covered in Jesus, through Jesus' blood. And then he tells me that this right here is not going to be taken care of with the blood. Because he knows this can't be covered. Why? Because it's your birthing. What's this got to do? Everybody say the word. Die. Everybody say it again. That's good. So I got my sins covered by the blood of Jesus. And this old man, he dead. Everybody say he dead. Say it again. He dead. How do I know? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So I'm walking being forgiven of all my sins, and I'm also walking free from the power of sin because the old man is dead. Do you see? I needed both. How did he shed his blood for me? Yes or no? And then he went to the cross, and in him, when Christ died, my old nature died in him. Amen. Say, he dead. You women can say, she dead. Why? Because it was a birthing. It was your heredity. It was your nature to be born. You were born in sin. This took care of what I do. This takes care of who I was. This death right here of the old man takes care of who I was, how I was born. God knew that it needed to die for us to be able to have a new birth. That has to die first.
Amen.
Y'all with me? That has to die first. Boy, he plays a good dead person. He really does. He okay, Adam, you may step down. You may step down. I need the second Adam to come on up. Whoever that is. Come on, Mike. Mike, you can come. The second Adam comes up. Well, I almost thought he was going to jump on his stomach. Count him out. 1, 2, 3. He's out. All right. Jesus, the second Adam, was born in this earth, but he was born without sin. You know why? He was conceived in Mary, but by the Holy Spirit. Without sin. So he comes and he makes the great sacrifice and he sheds his blood. You can't be hanging around sin over there.
With my blood.
I'm messing with him. So he has to come and he has to do what? He has to die. So come here. Come here.
It's hard for an old man to get up.
Come on, old man. But actually, what we do is sometimes is just what I did. We try to go get the old man up because we sort of like him sometimes. I sort of like how that felt sometimes. So come on, old man, you can get back up. And then we're struggling again. Why? Because we have not reckoned him or reckoned us to be dead to sin, and we haven't reckoned that our old nature is gone. So we give him... So we try to do CPR on the old man. I don't know what I'm going to do. Don't know what I'm going to do. Don't know what I'm going to do. Well, let's resurrect the old man and see what he has to say. Well, this used to work. Well, that's the old way we used to do it. God knows what to do. So in Christ, he's being crucified. Crucified. In Christ, the old man is crucified with him. And the blood that he shed is covering all my sins. What I do and who I am. What I do is covered by his blood. Who I am is gone. Why is that? Because he's getting me to the point of the new creation, the new man. Oneness with him, Christ in me. What are y'all doing? Christ in me. The hope, everybody say, the hope of glory. The expectations of all of his hope is inside me. Y'all with me? How y'all doing with this? But you know, this is good too. I'm not going to talk about it today, but I'm going to mention it. We'll talk about it in a couple of weeks. I can talk about it today, but don't have enough time. See, there's a law of sin that still exists. But there's a law of sin and death. There's still a law of sin and death. but there's a law of the Spirit of the living God. And the law of the Spirit has... Now, I see the smiles out, y'all. You guys are going to have to behave yourself. Listen. The law... See, there's a law of sin and death. I'm not going to get into it all. But there's a law of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, has made us free from the law of sin and death. And we'll talk about that a little later. But here this is. Let's just say, okay... All right. Are you there? All right. But see, it's just like this. Watch this. There's a law of gravity, right? So they can hold their arms up, or I can hold this Bible up for so long. We try to do it out of our own will for so long. But there's a law. If we have not been freed from the law of sin, no matter how much we do this, eventually, it's coming down. Why? Nothing in me that can do that. None of my efforts can overcome a law. But the law of the Spirit of life sets you free from the law of sin and death. Boy, if you can't raise a hallelujah over that, you just don't understand it all. Okay, sin, you can have a seat. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, God. The old man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Keith. Thank you. So, but see, when God, let me read you some of these things about the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There's no redemption. The Bible says in Revelation 5, verse 9 through 10, says, Thou wast slain, and you did purchase for God with your blood. You purchased men for God with your blood. You've been bought. Say, I've been bought. I've been bought. Not that you've been bought off. You've been bought. You're no longer your own. You belong to Him. But we act in our life like we don't belong to Him because we have not reckoned ourselves to be dead to sin. We have not considered and counted that the old man is dead. And I have been given a new life. I have been given a new creation. See, this is elementary. I know you guys, you know that, but I'm telling you, it's not... We have to gain understanding how we can walk in what we just learned. See, the enemy is always whispering in our ears that you're not this, you're not that, and even God calls you this and that, but we won't capture that thought and bring it to the obedience of Christ because I'm just too weak. You know, Francis Frangipan said it this way. He said, you know, you need to get this in your mind that God and the devil are both out to kill you. Devil wants to destroy you with death. God wants you to die so you can be raised up. Become the new creation. See, it has to do with our thinking. But anyway, the blood of Jesus, shedding of blood, the purchase of men for God. He said, not only did you purchase the men for God with your blood, but you have made them. Everybody say, made them. Amen. Who are them? Wave your hand at me. We are them. Made them a kingdom of priests to God. A kingdom of priests. Another verse says, a priest and kings. We're priests and kings for our God, and we will reign on the earth. See, the blood satisfied Jesus' righteousness and His justice. But see, the blood also not only paid the price, it gave us peace with God. The blood gives us peace with God. That's over in Colossians 1, 19 through 20. And not only that, the blood brings us justification. That's over in Romans 5, 8 and 9. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet, watch this, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet who we are, not just what we do, who we are, we were sinners. While we were sinners, beings, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood. Everybody say, I'm forgiven. I have peace with God. I have been justified before God, all by the blood of Jesus. Yet we act like we don't. See, that thing about justified is I'm no longer guilty. Say, I'm no longer guilty. Why am I no longer guilty? The blood of Jesus has justified me. Justified. Just if I had not sinned, not guilty. God looks at me, not guilty. God looks at you, not guilty. God looks at you, you, not guilty. Why? The blood's justified. The blood has justified you. The blood has called you not guilty. That's the value of God's. That's God's value of his son's blood. But yet we don't value that to that level a lot of times because we still act like we're guilty. You see what you just did? You're guilty. You see the way you acted? You're guilty. You look at you, and you call yourself a Christian. Just look at you. I can see the way we think sometimes. I can see us thinking, you know, God must not have thought about this one. Because they're up there saying, ooh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do now? I've already died. What are we going to do? That sin ain't covered. No, that's not true. We think that way. I say, I'm justified. Before God, I have right standing before God because of his blood. And because he killed my old man, my old nature, he gave me the new man. He gave me a new, and he gave me his righteousness, and he gave me his holiness. See, one of the worst things me and you can do is try to be holy. Anybody ever tried to be holy? Oh, he knows it for sure back there. You know, he's the only honest person in here today. Has anybody tried to live a holy life? Tried to be holy? Come on, wave at me. I'm just trying to be holy. How did that work? Not good. Why is that? You can't be holy. See, when he says, be holy for I am holy, isn't that in the scripture? Yeah. Be holy for I am holy. This be holy is a be holy. The action inside the Greek says it's done from outside of you. It's performed by another other than the subject. That's the reason we need to study to see, well, what is this? What is this? So we work at being holy, and all we got to do is be. Because he's holy. And he's in me. I have his holiness, yes or no? I just got to learn to live it into the fullness in my soul. I just got to learn to work out the salvation that he's given me. Work it out in my soul, in my normal everyday life. To let that come that's in me. Through me in my living. Because he gave you Christ. Christ is in you. See, on the cross, he keeps saying on the cross, you in Christ. You are in Christ. You are in Christ. But see, once he's resurrected, he's in me. He's in me. He's in me. You see the difference? See, Jesus, God had it all planned out before he ever said, in the beginning. He had it all planned out. Our problem is we don't know it. We don't believe it. We don't know it. It's just like this is the temple. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know? See, we don't know this. Therefore, we're still struggling with our freedom. Know the truth. Be intimate with the truth. And it will make you free. He's already set you free. But knowing the truth will make you free. In other words, you get out of jail, he set you free. He opened the darkness and let you walk out of the darkness. You have been set free. And he said, it is for freedom that I set you free. It is for freedom out there that I set you free here. So when he set us free, he wants to make us free. Yes. Make us free where? In our living. Yes. Well, we got to know it. Everybody say, I got to know this. Because when this becomes one with you and I, a lot of our struggles are going to be eliminated. Really, they will. Why? Because we know who we are. We know what he's done. We know about the blood. We know the old man's dead. And we know that I was in him and I know that he's in me. Can you imagine a whole group of people called Christians grasping the knowledge and the revelation of this and not just knowing it, but it becoming who they are? I'm telling you, we'll change the entire world. We'll meet people, and we will not see people in their behaviors. We'll see people as God sees them. It's like walking up to a drunk and say, man, you're a drunk. Well, he already knows that. That ain't going to help him at all. All he's going to feel is guilt and condemnation. Walk up to him and say, man, I got a story to tell you. Do you have time? Most people, yeah. Then share your story of how bad you used to be and then what happened to you and what Christ did for you. And then say, you know, Christ did the same thing for you. Would you like to have that? You're not even touching alcohol. You're bringing him to a place of Jesus. You're bringing him to a place of holiness. You're bringing him to a place. All he's got to do is accept it. Yes or no? That's all you and I did. Accept it. Okay. Y'all okay? Did you learn anything? No. Reckon it to be so. And then present. Then present your bodies. Present who you are to God. And then the next thing you know, somewhere along the line, he may talk to you and say, I want you to go to a foreign land. You know why they're going? Do you know why they're going? Because their walk with God is strong enough to know that God's going to take care of me, God's going to provide for me, and this is my appointment in life for now. Here am I. Send me. Okay, are you forgiven? Has the blood forgiven your sins? How many of them? Everybody say all. All. Say it loud. All. I'll tell you what, if I can't raise a hallelujah, then no, nothing can. You with me? And not only that, hallelujah, not only that, the old man, the old influence, the old nature that you have been living in all these years, it died with Christ. We didn't get to talk about those scriptures, but I got them. See, I needed his substitution on the cross. Yes? I needed the substitution in his blood. I needed his blood. I needed him to be my substitute on the cross. And watch this. I also need him to be my substitute in my living. Because the old man is dead. We have a new creation, but it's immature. So I lean upon what? The Christ in me. To help me mature to the fullness of being like Jesus. Okay. If y'all don't say amen, I'm going to keep going.
Amen.
Well, the old man is dead, so I don't have feelings. If you got feelings, that means he ain't dead. Well, that hurt. Well, you know, the old man don't feel things. You got a new nature. So in place of that hurt, you just, I bless all of you. I love all of you, even though you want me to quit. I love every stinking one of you. I repent. I love all of you. I really do. Did you capture anything today?
Yes.
We did too. Okay, let's stand to our feet. Now that the vote was cast. Oh, I forgave you. I don't need to bring it up anymore. Okay. No, I'm messing with you. Really. Christ has a way of bringing us joy in the midst of pain. He has a way of, out of the ashes, building new. We sang so many songs today that related to the message. So many. Take what you've learned. Read over some of those scriptures. Meditate upon what he's told you, what he's done. Then our struggles will be less and less because we will be solely dependent upon his new life. One translation of that says, I no longer have to live. Why so? Because he's living for me. Boy, I love that. Tell your neighbor, it was good to be here today. Father, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, your word. Thank you for your provision. Lord, we stand today in awe of you. Help us to capture your word. Let it go deep into us that we would know it and it would become part of our fabric, that we would walk away today with less struggles because we're resting in what you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.